What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for listening to this week's message from Zoe Church. We are in part four of a series called Talk of the Town. We are studying how to become free and how to give forgiveness. Thank you to every person that gives and helps support, partners with us to get the message of Jesus around the world. If you'd like to give, you can go to our website or text Zoe to 77977, and we'll shoot you a link and you can give right there. But let's jump into this week's message. You got to fight for your right to freedom. Ephesians 6, verse 10, we are in a series. We are in part four. You know a series is serious when we get to the fourth part of it. We are in part four of a series that we're studying together called Talk of the Town. And we've been, as a community, talking about the subjects of freedom and forgiveness, discovering the freedom that has been promised to us in Christ. And not only the freedom that's in Christ, but as we receive his forgiveness, how do we give forgiveness? This is a big deal because I think whether we'd like to admit it or not, most of us wish we were a little bit more free than we currently are today. And I want to just continue to encourage us that freedom doesn't happen in a day. It's a daily decision to walk in truth. And I believe that you don't just come to church, get free. Okay, good. You continually get more free the more you follow Jesus and the more you receive his love and receive his kingdom and receive his grace. You walk in the freedom that he promised us. Does that sound good? And so we're talking about this idea. The talk of the town comes from Mark chapter 5, verse number 20. Mark 5, verse 20. And I want to encourage you to go there in your Bible and look at that highlighted scripture in the Message translation. It says that this guy that was filled with demons became the talk of his town when he experienced the freedom that is found in Christ. In other words, everybody could be talking about you because of the change that God does in you. In fact, it becomes so evident that everybody around you recognizes you're not the same person that you used to be. I remember who you were pre-Jesus, and now that you've met Jesus and are walking in the truths of Jesus, you've changed. And that's how we want to live our life. Amen? And so Ephesians chapter 6, I'm trying to convince us that this stuff is real. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, it says this in your Bible. This is Paul the apostle that's talking. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I just got to pause right there. That's good reading right there. First line. You know what the Bible's saying to us? You cannot live in your own strength. You got to tap into God's strength. Finally, my brothers and sisters of Zoe Church, be strong in, that's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can't do it in my own strength, but I can be strong in his strength. I like that. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The schemes of the translation say right there, the schemes of the wicked one. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me pause there. We do not, your biggest problem is not people. We do not wrestle against your cousin or against your auntie or against your boyfriend or girlfriend. Your struggle is not with your spouse. That's a word for somebody right there. That's that. Come on, you guys. She's my wife. Anyways, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not your biggest problem. He says, but your struggle is against powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of this reality, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to, what's that last word right there? What's that last word right there? Stand, stand. God wants you to stand. Stand firm, stand strong. I watch too much sing, so I got to just say it real fast. I'm still standing. Yeah, that's how I sing too, exactly. But we're still standing. We're still standing because the enemy wants to hurl you and mess with you and get you to fall to temptation. But God wants you to stand strong. Come on, clap. I feel like preaching. And I went through the 9:45 already. I finna preach tonight. I'm still standing, having done everything in your power to stand. I want to preach a message. Write down the title. It's called, You Gotta Fight for Your Right. I'm not going to hit you with the last one. I'm not. Some of you are like, I love this church. You got to fight for your right to freedom. Freedom is a fight. That's why he says, listen, you got to stand strong. Put on the full armor of God, because the wicked one is coming to strategize and to scheme and to bring strategy to take you out. And so he's going to throw all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of evil spirits at your life to take you out. The wicked one does not want to see you flourish, does not want to see you walk in your God-given potential. He wants you to be suffering and struggling. I'm grateful tonight, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world, and I'm standing strong because of the grace of Jesus. Amen to that. And so we got to do everything. You got to fight for your right to stay free in Christ. You got to fight to stay the strategies of the wicked one. He is cunning and he is crafty. You don't think that it's an accident, just by accident, that David, when he's at home, he should be at war, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. You don't think it's a coincidence that somehow from his rooftop, when he went out there at 1 a.m, there just happens to be a naked lady bathing? You think that's an accident? No, the enemy of your life is cunning and crafty and wicked and strategizing, and I've got to fight for my right to freedom. Come on, if you believe it tonight, give me a little bit of faith and just say, I'm going to fight for my freedom. Now, I use this quote from Jack Hafer, one of my favorite spiritual leaders, one of my favorite theologians, Pastor Jack Hafer, who pastored forever Church on the Way in Van Nuys. He says this, put it on the screen, you cannot cast out the flesh, but you cannot disciple a demon. What does he mean by that is all of us are sinners saved by grace. We're all sinful. In fact, let me just do a poll real fast. If you sinned yesterday, let me just raise your hand. If you sinned yesterday, yeah, me too. I took my three of my boys played for the Clippers yesterday in a basketball league. I rest my case. It's disgusting. So I can't cast out the flesh because I'm born into sin. And so I'm going to continue to sin. So I'm a sinful, I'm saved by grace because I have a sinful nature. And so I can't cast out the flesh. But listen, what you cannot do is you cannot disciple a demon. And we've been talking about this idea. What is a demon? A demon is a fallen angel. If you don't know much about the Bible, in the Bible, Satan, I call him Satan, he used to be the leader of worship in heaven until one day his pride, his ego got the best of him, and he tried to hijack all the praise to himself. And when God cast him down, he cast a third of the fallen angels down with him. And that's what a demon is a fallen angel. And we've been talking about this idea that can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Can a Christian have a demon in them? And I want to remind you that you have been bought at the high price of the blood of Jesus. And if you didn't know who you are, who you belong to God. Let me put some Kirk Franklin on it. You're God's property, okay? So God bought you. You are owned by the Lord himself. We've been using this illustration, though. If I, while I'm at church, leave my front door unlocked, and when I get back to my house, I discover while I was gone, a thief or a robber got into my home. When I get back to my house and I discover that thief, they are in my house, but that does not mean they possess my house. See, to have this kind of spirit in you means that there's mastery or control or influence that this thief is trying to take over in your life. And I'm trying to encourage you, the reason why most believers are in bondage is because they never believe they could be in bondage. And I'm just trying to do everything in my power to say, hey, maybe for one shot, maybe for one series, we can look in our lives and see maybe there's a thief in our house. In fact, write down number one tonight, rule everything in before you rule everything out. Like, might we consider ourselves just going like, you know what? I don't think I got a demon. My cousin got a demon for sure. I don't think I got a demon, but let me just wonder and let me just kind of go down the path and let me just see if maybe I do have an evil spirit. It was amazing. Last week after the 11:30 service, this lady came up to me in the courtyard, and I've known her for a long time. She used to go to a church in New York I'd preach at, and she moved to LA probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I say, hi, how you doing? She's crying. And she said, you don't even know what this series has done for my life. She said, when I was growing up, my mom used to take us as kids to the cemetery and we do seances and we do witchcraft and we would worship evil spirits. In my house, we would do this kind of witchcraft in my home. And I always felt timid and shy at church. But this series and the message of Jesus is changing me from the inside to the outside. Come on. If you believe in the name of Jesus and that it has all the power and the authority, come on, give him praise right now. And I don't know if you grew up with something like that to that degree, but it would behoove us not to just go, maybe it happened. Maybe I should rule it in before I rule it out. In fact, watch John 8. Watch what Jesus says. This is amazing. When he starts talking about freedom, he says to the Jews who had believed in him, he said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anybody. How can you say that we shall be free? Do you realize how delusional that sounds? Do you know who's talking? The Jews? This is what happens to most of us. The Jews, the people that are talking, do you not remember the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, when you were in slavery and in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh? And over 400 years you were in slavery, but God, by his outstretched hand, delivered you. See, the problem for most of us, we're like, set free. I don't need to be set free. I go to church 2 times a month, easy. I got a Zoe hoodie. I'm good. I got a YouTube playlist full of all kinds of worship. I'm good. I tithed 3 times last year. All the mud bondage. That's a laugh right there. That's a laugh right there. Bondage. See, the problem for most of us is that we need to rule it in before we rule it out. We got to just sort our life of going, maybe, perhaps there is a chance that I could have opened my life up, opened my eyes, and allowed some spirit, opened my mind, opened my heart to some things that are going to take me down a destructive path. And it might not destroy you day one, but give that spirit 2 years. Give that spirit 5 years. I want you to write down just 3 things about this kind of activity in your life. Number one, they are robbers. Number two, they are dogs. And number three, they're relentless. They've come to rob you. Take all your joy. Take all your peace. Take all your purity. Take all your purpose. They have come to take. And by the way, they're not satisfied with being into your house. They want to take over the whole house. They might be in the back corner right now, but I'm telling you, you give them a year or two, they're going to be sleeping in your bedroom. They're going to be sleeping on the couch. They're going to eat all the food in the cupboards because they're thieves. They want to rob and take control. And they are dogs. They are relentless. In fact, the Bible calls them not just dogs, but wolves. And so they come to attack, and they are relentless. They if they see you down, they want to even kill you more. They don't just go like, oh, you're having a bad season. You're having a bad time. You're having a bad day. Let's take it easy. No, they are unrelenting. They show no mercy. That's why I'm loving my God who says, I am slow to anger. I am rich in love. I am full of mercy. Anybody thankful that God is merciful and I don't have to go to some foul spirit that's going to mess me up when I can receive the Holy Spirit? And you got to be careful because we allow this stuff into our life and all of a sudden it's like, wait, I'm being controlled by something. I'm following something. I'm listening to something. I'm not acting like myself. This is not okay. We got to rule this stuff in before we rule it out and take examination. Maybe this could be in my life. So easy to point at them and those guys, and they've got problems and they've got issues. But the smartest thing to do is to look inward and go, Lord, is there any robber, any thief, anything in my life that has come in that is taking away the inner working of your spirit? Because at the end of the day, write down number two, the thief is trying to stop the effective work of the gospel in your life. What he's really trying to do is to prevent the gospel, the good news of Jesus, from working in your life. Because I'm telling you, when you are free, that truth gets in you and the truth starts working. I'm telling you, when the truth is running through your life, it'll wake you up in the middle of the night and the truth will speak to you. You get up in the morning and the truth will start talking to you. You have to make a decision about a relationship and the truth will start talking to you. But when you are in bondage, the truth cannot run. The truth cannot be effective. The truth does not have its way. And so the thief is trying to prevent the effective working of the gospel. Because watch this, the thief knows that the way to prevent others from hearing the good news is to stop it with you. So if the good news is not working in me, how could it ever work through me? So how will the enemy stop a revival in Los Angeles? Oh, it's quite easy. He'll just put you into bondage, and your coworkers and your friends and your neighbors will never find out about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because if it's not working in me, how could it ever work through me? Oh, I love this. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. It says this, Ephesians 3, 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. See, the power of God will work in your life. I have seen the meanest person go to the nicest person because of the gospel. I have seen the angriest person go to the most patient person all because of the gospel. I have seen the stingiest person become the most generous person, all because of the gospel. I have seen the gossiper who runs their mouth become the most discretionary, trustworthy person, all because of the gospel. Has anybody found witness that the gospel of Jesus, it becomes powerful and effective in our life? Put it up on the screen. He says, I became a servant of this gospel. See, when you're free, you're not free to do your thing. You're free to serve God. I became a servant of this message. And when you're in bondage, you can't serve anything but sin. You can't serve anything but lust. You can't serve anything but pride because you're in bondage to this kind of stuff. But when you're free, you become a servant to the gospel, and the gospel works in you and the gospel works through you. Jesus says, if you drink my water, it's high quality H2O. If you drink my water, you'll never thirst again. That's a pH level right there. You'll never thirst again. And out of you, what will happen? Rivers of living water will flow out of you. And the enemy knows it, doesn't he? And so he says, stand strong, stand tall, stand, do everything you can to stand, because the schemes of the enemy are coming to take you out. And so if he needs to use a Bathsheba who's taking a bath, the Bible's so crazy. You telling me her name is, she's in the bath, this is crazy stuff, man. God's property, you know, and so he'll scheme and strategize to take you out. And he does this through bondage. He does this through opening your heart to some foul spirit, evil spirit, unclean spirit. And I know we don't like using these terms, but let's just call it what it is, a demon. I like to say it with a country accent, Damon. How do you know what it is? It's a demon. I don't know why the finger makes me feel so validated too. I could never just be like, demon. But we got to rule it in and go, maybe, I don't know. I watched some things when I was young. I participated in some things. I went to some weird places. I opened up my heart. Some people said some things. I don't know if I got bondage. Maybe we should just rule it in. Because the goal is not to go like, I knew it from the moment I met him. Did I not say it, Damon? That's not the goal. What's the goal? The goal is freedom in Christ. The goal is walking in our God potential. Oh, come on, clap if you want to live and become a servant of the Most High God. Look at this scripture, Psalm 83. Watch what he says. They devise crafty schemes against your people. They conspire against your precious ones. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of his existence. See, that's what the enemy is trying to do in your life. He's trying to wipe out a nation, trying to wipe out your plan, trying to wipe out your future. But God is trying to download his love, download his hope, download his promise into your life. Come on, let's see if we can get them all messed up. See if we can get them to be offended. See if we can get them to be on this, under this, the influence of this substance. Let's see if we can, and that's how the enemy works. And I don't know about you, but I'm the older I get, the more sensitive I get to spirits. I don't want to be around that spirit. I don't like that compromising spirit. I don't like that evil spirit. I don't like that gossip spirit. I don't like that. I want to be in the Holy Spirit. I want to be in God's plan. I want to live God's way. I want to walk in God's truth. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. And you might be here going like, yeah, me too. How do I know if there's something off? How do I rule it in and examine? Let me give you two things, two symptoms that will tell you if you are in bondage. Number one, if there's continued iniquity, if there's continual habitual sin that you cannot break. Watch what the Bible teaches here. This is beautiful. It says this in 1 John. John chapter 8. It says, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whoever commits, we talked about earlier, wait a second. All of us are sinners. All of us, I took my kids to 3 Clipper games. We're all sinners. So what does he mean? Commits sin. Whoever commits sin, that word there means whoever plans on sinning. Whoever's making plans to commit the acts of sin. So you and I, we sin accidentally. Like, man, I said something, I did something. I went by McDonald's again at midnight and I got the McFlurry. Yo, my bad. And the large french fry with the hot mustard sauce. My bad. But what the Bible's talking about here is committed sin. Whoever commits to it. Like, let's be honest. Have you ever been around somebody or you yourself been like, you know, come Friday, I'm going on this trip, and I'm gonna have a time, and we're going down to Cabo Wabo, if you know what I mean, and we're gonna find me at Senior Frogs. I'll see you guys Monday, maybe. That's if they let me back in here. That's planning on sinning. That's how you know that you're in bondage, when you're making plans for the flesh. I love to make plans. I'm a big planner. I've got a lot of my next week already planned out. I know what I'm doing tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, most of Thursday, Friday. It's Julia's day. Might have to do some chores. But I'm making plans. And when you're in bondage, you're making plans to violate God's word, to go against the truths and the standards that God has set up for our life. That's how you know it's continued iniquity. I can't stop doing this thing. I can't break free from this thing that has my number and has my name and has, I can't break free from it. If you're in that spot tonight, I believe that the name of Jesus can set you free from committing those acts and walking in the truth of God's word. You don't have to live that way. Look at this next scripture. I love this. Second Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're departing that. We're leaving iniquity. I've had my fair share. You ever notice that, you know, fill in your Cabo or fill in your blank, you ever notice you go down that path and you indulge in those sins and they never satisfy? And they always leave you empty. They always leave you feeling worse than you did before. And you come under guilt and shame and condemnation. And it says, the Lord knows those who are leaving iniquity. I'm confessing and believing that during this series, some of us are going to leave some great iniquities that have had us held for 5, 10, 15 years. And we're going to get set free in the name of Jesus. So a way that I know I'm in bondage is continued iniquity. I can't break this thing. I can't get loose. It's got me chained. It's got my name. It's got my number. We're going to speak the name of Jesus over it. Here's the number one, the second one. Number two is continued offense. So the first one is iniquity. I can't stop sinning. And offense, I can't forgive. I can't seem to let this thing go. And I want to let you know that Jesus placed such a high priority, he places such a high premium on forgiveness that he says it this way. I wish that you would come to church and in the middle of worship, while we're singing On Time God, if you have an offense with somebody, leave the service, go to the courtyard, forgive them, and then come back and worship. What he's saying is, I'd rather you be right with people than be right with me. In fact, he's saying, you're not right with me if you're not right with others. And what he's trying to say is you're wasting your time praising and still hating. The Bible says it so clear this way. Anybody that loves God and hates their brother has never seen God. Because the more I see God, the more I'm like, oh my gosh. You forgave me of all the dark, twisted, deceitful, vile, gross, evil things I've done. How could I not forgive somebody of the sins they've done to me? So just because they abandoned me or abused me or betrayed me doesn't mean I can hold offense. In fact, I'm going to let it go. And the more I do that, the more I can walk in the freedom that is in Christ. So it's not just sin, it is also offense. I just love this. In fact, if you really want to get free, you need to start getting covenant, committed relationships. In fact, this is how freedom comes into your life. Freedom does not come into a service. Freedom comes when you confess your struggles, confess your problems, confess your addictions, confess your issues. That's how your freedom is found. In fact, you are only as sick as your secrets. And the more you confess what you're going through and confess your bondage and confess your offense, the more the Lord Jesus can heal you and free you. And for, oh, I feel like preaching now. Y'all better clap and thank God. I'm going to walk in freedom. In fact, let's go back to wolves real fast. Let's go back to wolves. Wolves, what do? Wolves, they prey on the fray. They're looking for anybody on the fray so they can prey. In other words, they don't ever attack the middle of the sheepfold. They attack those on the outside. The dumbest thing for you could do in your life is to isolate yourself and to get on the fray because a wolf is going to get you. But the smartest thing for you to do is to get into a connect group and get into a service. And because when I'm here on Sundays, I'm it. Come on, clap like you understand what I'm saying. I'm in the sheepfold. I feel like going and standing right in the middle of this room. I'm in the sheepfold. Try and get me. Some of us, you reason why the enemy keeps attacking you because you're not in community. You're not connected in community. And you need to take your row and turn it into a circle. Watch what the Bible teaches. Worship team, come join me. Look at this scripture, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Other translations say that you may be freed. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When was the last time in your friend group that you say, hey, will you lay hands on me and pray for me? Hey, can you take a moment and just pray for me? I'm not doing that good. I'm kind of struggling right now. I feel tempted. I feel weird. I feel off. I feel strange. I feel isolated. I'm struggling with insecurity. I'm struggling with fear and rejection and abandonment and all my issues. I'm confessing my problems. For some reason, your Christianity is like, I'm good. I'm fine. It's so good. I'm fine. People on Sunday is like, how you doing? Good. Good. Yeah, good. Good. Everybody's walking behind your back going like, they're not good. They're not there. Did you talk to so-and-so? They're not. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's just keep talking about them. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. Another scripture says in 1 John, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. Oh, watch it. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no better feeling than being clean before the Lord, saying, Jesus, thank you for cleaning me and healing me and freeing me and loving me. No worse feeling than being like, man, I'm messed up again and I can't get it right. Can't break this addiction. And I don't know. just never get free. You know, the enemy and that evil spirit keeps telling you, you're never going to be free. You're never going to break this chain. You're never going to overcome. You're never. But my Bible tells me that I can do all things through Jesus Christ that gives me strength. I got to fight for my right to freedom. I got to fight for my right to freedom. I got to fight for my right. I got a right to freedom. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Jesus promised me freedom, and he said, if I know his truth, the truth will start to work in me, and I will become free. So I'm becoming more free. I'm more free than I was last year. I'm more free than I was yesterday, and I'm going to keep walking down this path of freedom and truth and righteousness and goodness and mercy. So write down last one, number four. Just write down this last thought. Number four, fill the house. Fill your house. Fill your house. Can I get the keyboard up just a little bit louder? Fill your house. Fill your house. Fill your house. Matthew chapter 12. It says this in Matthew 12, verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through any dry place, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and puts it in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state of that man. So it shall also be with this wicked generation. See, my biggest concern for many of us this evening is as we go through this, I believe that tonight you can be delivered and set free. But the problem is that when we cast out that unclean spirit, you need to know that it's coming back. But this time, it's not coming back alone. It's coming back with seven more unclean spirits. And the Bible says, Jesus is speaking here. He says, these aren't at the same level. They are actually more wicked. Sometimes I read the Bible and I'm like, do you think we could get like an encouraging verse here? Because I'm like trying to get free and confess and deal with my iniquity, and you're telling me that if I get rid of it, seven more are coming back, plus the one that I had? And he said, yeah, you need to know that if you come back, if they come back and they see that the house is empty, it will overwhelm them, and the latter will be worse than the former. So you got to understand this about God, that it's not about what we say no to, it's about what we say yes to. It's not just saying no to iniquity, no to offense, come on, clap tonight. It's saying yes to truth, yes to connect groups, yes to serving, yes to worship music, yes to praising God. I find so many Christians like, I stopped doing this, and I stopped doing that, and I don't do this anymore. That's awesome, friend, that's awesome. But like, could you describe with the same passion, what do you do? Because I find we're so focused on what we're saying no to, we forget what we say yes to. And the fight for freedom is not a fight against, no, I'm just not going to do these things. It's saying, I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to walk in his plan for my life. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to surrender to God. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to get his word in my house. I'm going to get his word in my ear. I'm going to worship him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. I'm going to become addicted to the presence of the living God. I'm going to worship him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to, come on, clap if you're thankful tonight for the goodness and the grace of God. Fill your house. Fill it with praise. Fill it with worship. Fill it with God's people. Host people. Be hospitable. In the same passion that you use to do all these things, let's use greater passion to live for God. With the same detail and planning that you use to serve yourself, let's use more detail and more planning to serve God. My parents just moved from Washington, from Tacoma, Washington, to Palm Springs. And when they moved from Tacoma, Washington, to Palm Springs, they sold all their possessions. And they got rid of all their furniture. They got rid of all their stuff. And they came down to Palm Springs with near to nothing. And so they went out and they got the fridge. And they went out and they got the washer and the dryer. And they went out and got all the stuff. And they filled their house. I'm just believing out of this series that we won't just get rid of the wrong stuff. We'll fill our house with the right stuff. The word of God. The people of God. The things of God. Come on, stand to your feet. Jesus, we worship you tonight.